Draw near to us, Lord, we pray, as you promise in your scriptures. And may I speak now in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. If I see any of you laugh, like last Sunday evening while I was preaching down here to our small evening communion, I won't think I've told a joke, because there are no jokes this morning. I'll know that a mouse has run behind me, because that's what happened last Sunday night. I saw Ruth laughing. I thought, I've not told a joke. What's going on here? And there have been two funerals this morning already. I won't say any more about that. We've caught some little blighters in church. But moving on, and there should be no mice behind me. Today we're looking, continue our series on the Alpha Course. And today in particular is, how can I resist evil? And I want to begin by showing you just a few minutes of Nikki Gumbel's introduction on this particular talk. Not very frequently that we talk about this subject, but as it's part of the course, it has to be addressed. And of course, at 2 o'clock last night, there was a mouse in my loft and woke me up. And I thought, oh, typical. What am I preaching about this morning? I know you can't put two and two together, but hey. I'm going to have to say yes, thank you to the... We've lost the wire for the clicker. So yes, please, could you click on the next bit for me? We all know that discipleship, following Jesus, is a struggle, can be a struggle. We've all been there, and sin is always a problem, and so is a spiritual battle that Nikki was talking about, where the devil continues to seek to frustrate God's will for our lives. People today find it hard enough to believe in a personal devil, while some see satanic forces under every stone. Thank you, Phil. But C.S. Lewis said these words, which hopefully will be on the screen. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors. And there it is on the screen if you did want to follow me. Even amongst Christians, you know, who do believe in the devil's existence, there's often a blindness about the reality of spiritual warfare and the nature of the enemy's tactics. Many have described the Good Friday Cross victory as being likened to D-Day. Similarly, VE Day will come on Jesus' return, so then the spiritual mopping up will cease. So how can we resist evil? How can we make the devil run? Let's look to James, the James reading. Thank you, Phil. Which we had read to us earlier, for what God helpfully says. Have a look at those words as I'm speaking, or if you've got a Bible, do look it up, because I'm going to continue to refer to that passage, James 4, 6 to 10. We're going to work through this very short passage and heed some of the good advice that God, through James, gives to us. We have got to try and heed some of the very helpful advice. God opposes the proud, verse 6 says. God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. I want that word to stick in your brains as I go through these next few moments. Don't we, as Christians, want to walk more closely with God and receive his favour? I trust that's your desire, as well as it is mine. So what does it mean to be humble before God? Well, in the first place, it means being faithful to him. And then secondly, James says it means giving in to him, in the positive sense of those words. So we then should submit to God. You can see the words there in verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Now, of course, there's a wrong kind of submission. Remember the good old days, if you're as old as me, when wrestling used to be on a Saturday afternoon on the telly. Suppose a wrestler was to shout, "I submit," as soon as round one, the bell was to start as round one. He'd get no medals from anybody for doing that. And in the same way, there are right and wrong ways of submitting to God. A student, say, for example, ought to be working weeks in advance before an exam. If he was to sit back in an armchair at home and say to himself, "I'll put myself in God's hands for this exam. I'll not do any revision. I can cope without." That's submission gone wrong. When you give in to God, it doesn't mean lying back on your spiritual bed and waiting for God to do something. It means doing something yourself. And as usual, James is very practical. Our submission to God can work itself out in many ways, and James mentions some of them. Thank you, Phil. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. We've had submit to God, now resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Like the wrestler, the Christian has an opponent. We have an opponent coming at us. We can't dodge that. This is war, not sport. So forget the wrestler for a minute. The devil, you see, is out for a kill, not a win on points. So this is a contest where submission to the enemy is completely out of the question. We know that the devil is a strong adversary and very cunning and very powerful too. James wouldn't want us to play that fact down. Thank you, Phil. But if we take a firm stand, we can face him without fear. His bark is worse than his bite, someone once said. See, most dogs chase cats, don't they? But if the cat stops fighting and fights back, you might have seen this, the dog will turn tail and run itself. It takes courage, though, I guess, for a cat. Maybe we need a cat in church, I've just thought of that. It takes courage, doesn't it, for a cat to take such a risk. But Christians, James says, have an advantage over cats. If they depend completely on God, he guarantees that they can win all their battles with the devil in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus. So if we stand up to the enemy, we will see him run. So resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Thank you, Phil. And then come near to God and he will come near to you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. This is the other side of the coin. When we take a step towards the devil, he will run away in the name of Jesus. But when we make a move towards our Father God, he will then come closer to us. Jesus told one of his most famous parables to make his point. Thank you, Phil. If you can click on that and then click to the next slide for me. He makes his point in this parable. The father didn't stop loving his son. You know the story. When he left home and squandered his share of his inheritance, nor did he run after him to make him come back home. But he was there at the gate, waiting, looking out for his son, greeting him on his return with open arms and a sorry too. God is always like that, says James, and it's worth us remembering that. If we think he's far away from us, and if you're like me, you'll face times like that, it's we who have moved, not him. In Jesus' story, the runaway son didn't just apologize when he got home. You'll remember the story. He wanted to show he was really sorry. So he was ready to give up all the family benefits and privileges, even offering to be a servant. James then, thank you, Phil, takes us to the bathroom to remind us of this same home truth. If we knock on God's door, and if you've got the Bible open, you'll know the verse I'm referring to. If we knock on God's door with sin-stained hands, it isn't good enough just to say sorry. We have to do something about it. James says, wash you your hands, you sinners. And clean hands, you see, are not enough, as God has X-ray eyesight. He sees the dirt in our minds and in our hearts, as well as the stains on our hands. God is your and my Father, who wants his children clean from the inside and from the outside. A quick apology is a cover-up, which is why when we leave a bit of space in church for us to think upon the past week as we come to confess our sins, a quick apology will never pass inspection. So obviously we must truly mean it when we together confess our sins in church and every day if you're like me. And the only way of true forgiveness and cleansing is accepting all Jesus did on the cross to wash away our sins. Thank you, Phil. Back to the passage. James says, be sorrowful, or grieve, as that passage says on the screen. Cry and weep. Change your laughter into crying, your joy into gloom, or that what it says on the screen, different translation. Now you'll think, where's Nick going with this? We see James is no killjoy. Have to remember that as he speaks these words. There's been flashes of humor in his letter. Read the rest of the letter if you don't believe me. But here, he is talking about something deadly serious. And he doesn't believe in dealing with serious things lightly. Some people say sorry with a smile on their face. And that's all wrong. If they really felt truly sorry, they would show it. And the same applies when we say sorry, apologize to God, says James. Sometimes we say the words without a tear and break out into laughter a moment later, which only may show that we're not truly sorry before God. See, James didn't go around with his head in the clouds. It's worth remembering that too. He was, I believe, a very down-to-earth bloke. And his advice was always practical. When we submit to God, there is a price to pay. Yes, of course, Jesus has done everything that needs to be done for us to be put right with our God. Nevertheless, when we submit to God, there is a price to pay. And James has spelled out what this really means. And now he comes back to his main point, in case we should forget it. If we want to taste victory in our lives as followers of Christ, victory against the evil one who opposes us and Christ's work today, then we must always remember, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Thank you, Phil. I think it's highlighted there. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We remember the story of Jesus' temptations. Yes, we know that story, but remember these vitally important words from James as we day by day fight our battle with the Lord on our side, putting on our armor as we face our foe. But this humility that James is talking about, as one commentator put it, is no cringing thing. And again, let that sink in. The humility God talks about is no cringing thing. It knows that if a person takes a stand against the evil one, thank you, Phil, as I said earlier, you will find him a coward. Our adversary, that is. Another writer once said, the devil can wrestle against the Christian, but he cannot throw him. Remember that, folks, brothers and sisters, as we journey through this next week. We cannot be thrown with Jesus on our side. I love that, how true that is. Of course, our great inspiration is Jesus himself in those temptations duly read to us. There we see that the devil is not invincible. When confronted with the word of God, he can be put to flight. I hope you, like me, want to be a Christian who has the humility to know that he must fight his battles. We must fight our battles with the tempter, not in our own power, because that is disastrous, but the power of God and in the name of Jesus. James is encouraging us to have humility, knowing that we have the greatest privilege of access to God. Through the work of Jesus, any person, man, woman, child, can come boldly before the throne of God, totally and completely certain that he or she will find grace and mercy to help in all times of trouble. Thank you, Phil. Let us then approach God's throne of grace, the Hebrews writer says, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When you come and put out your hands for bread and wine, ask God to fill you with his grace to help you in your times of need. Gone are the days when only the high priest in the Jewish faith can have access to the Holy of Holies. We have a new and living way and a better hope by which we can draw near to God. Thank you, Phil. That next verse. For the Lord made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. The Christian, I pray that is you, that's you and me, if we trust in the Lord Jesus, must have humility. There's no dodging that. But it is a humility which gives us dauntless courage in the face of evil in our world, and knows that the way to God is open for us. The next slide I'm going to put on the screen is just some helpful hints. Many of you who are old as me will remember David Watson, who died, decades ago now of cancer. But he gave some very helpful hints that I've remembered, and I want to share with you very briefly, and they are briefly, to finish. Thank you, Phil. You can click on the next slide for me, hopefully. The next one will come up. That's brilliant. Thank you. First click, know your enemy. Jesus said to his friends, watch and pray. And nothing changes. Watch, folks, and pray day by day, that you may not enter into temptation, the words of Jesus. Know your enemy. Secondly, thank you, Phil, keep yourself in the love of God. See, Paul reminds Christians that nothing, not some things, but nothing can separate them from God's love in Jesus. Keep yourself, folks, in that faith to be completely safe. Nurture that faith. Do I? Do you? My encouragement, folks, is nurture that faith. Thank you, Phil. Be strong in Christ. He that is in us, remember the old little chorus, is greater than he that is in the world. Words of Scripture, it is by the blood of the Lamb that we're able to conquer the accuser. As Christians, that's you and me. Thank you, Phil. Be filled with the Spirit as you come to communion. Again, ask God to fill you afresh with his Spirit. And go on being filled, daily being cleansed. I leak. I might rephrase that as it's on computer, on being recorded. But as regards the Holy Spirit, I leak, I need constantly refilling. As do you, probably. We can do nothing without him. So depend on him alone. Thank you, Phil. There we go, an encouragement. Be active in witness, not passive, active in witness and in service. Others out there need saving. It's just not an Americanism. It's in the Gospels. People need saving. We should follow Jesus' example of being busy but not rushed. Speak to myself there again. He perfectly accomplished God's work given to him to do. And Satan had no foothold in his life. Thank you, Phil. Be quick to put right wrong relationships. We need to hear that as a church family too. as a fellowship of sinners, inevitably, because we're all different, we're going to hurt each other and be hurt by others. But folks, let's put it right and get up and to carry on and not allow the devil to exploit anything in our midst. Thank you, Phil. Here it comes. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armour of God. How often, like me, do you rush, get up, think, oh, I've got to get going, and not think to put on that armour God reminds us through Paul to put on? And remember that it was with repeated sword, that is, word of God thrusts, that Jesus defeated his foe in the desert. One of the most important, eighthly, thank you, Phil, be constant in prayer. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert. That should be part of our motto as Christians. We must never lose our closeness to God if we want to stand firm in the battle. Never lose sight of our Lord. We must come to him, wait upon him, submit to him, renew our strength in him, listen to him, trust him, and then go out into the world to face the enemy. Jesus saw this need, so how much more should we see that need too? And then lastly, you might think strangely, use the festal shout. Strange, you may say. David Watson, when he wrote that, had a point, and it's worth remembering the scriptures. I could give you any number of Bible passages which show God's people were often encouraged to shout praise to God. Jericho, King Jehoshaphat, Paul in jail, and then the angel appeared, set him free. Thank you, Phil. The Lord reigns has been described as the great festal shout. And again, Phil, thank you. We need to strengthen one another, to strengthen one another's hands, because if God is for us, folks, who can be against us? We need to encourage one another in the midst of dangerous, and aren't they just, and bewildering days, evil days. We know they have to come before the Lord Jesus returns. So we need to encourage one another, as the scriptures say, and then together proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the only Lord who reigns. One of the old hymns says this, when Satan tempts me, you might recognize the words, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Do not be deceived. Stand strong in the Lord. And with those nine, I'm going to put on the new sheet next week, those nine things that David Watson reminds us, go out and be a soldier for Christ wherever he leads you this coming week. May we bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, you saw fit to give James some brief sentences for us, that we are to submit ourselves to you. We are to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And we are to remind ourselves daily that we are to come near to you, and how you will come near to us. Lord, help us daily to put on your armor, to be constant in prayer, to keep ourselves in your love, to be strong in Christ, to be constantly filled with your Spirit as we seek to speak and live for you wherever you lead us. Help us not to run ahead of you, but to follow in your footsteps and to know that you walk with us as we seek to see your name lifted high. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.